Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. Thank you so much for checking out the Holderness Family Podcast.
This is a good one. And I feel like we say that every time, but like, really? This is a really good one. And you might, I don't know what we're going to title this. Maybe it's the benefits of menopause. I don't know what it is.
Eat a salad.
Eat a salad. No. But even if you're one of the men who enjoy listening to this, you I think men especially need to listen to this episode.
Right. I'm going to lay out for a lot of this because this is a women's issue that we're talking about. We're talking about women's hormones. We're talking about menopause, perimenopause. The thing that I wanted to do was learn on this podcast. And we did. We learned so much from Dr. Courtney because I'll honestly tell you, like, I did not have a real idea of what it was. And I'm not sure that some women don't even know exactly what menopause was. But once you learn what it's about, and once she explains to you, and she will later on in this episode, what kind of emotional responses your bodies go through,
yes,
this podcast will help your relationship.
It is so much more than hot flashes. And it is like, I was near tears about three times because she was naming things that were happening to me. And I just have been thinking, I've been going crazy, y'all, as you've heard on this podcast. And I think just knowing, having this knowledge about what's happening in my body has been just very eye-opening. And I think it was really helpful for Penn to know what's happening inside my body. So anyway, we just need to get right to it. Before we get to it, there's a few housekeeping items. Family Face Off, our game, on Amazon or familyfaceoff.com. And also in our merch shop, you can order any new merchandise by December 15th to get it in time for Christmas. So that's on theholdernessfamily.com. And please tag us on Instagram, or if you're playing the game, we want to see you. So first, it's Dr. Courtney Sims, but she goes by Dr. Courtney.
That's right. We asked her. We always do that. And she has we ask her about all the letters after her name.
Yes.
We're going to tell you a little bit about her right now. Okay, so Dr. Courtney Sims is a Georgia native. She's become a Texas transplant, got her undergraduate training from Xavier University of Louisiana, stayed in New Orleans for med school training at Tulane. After med school, she went on to complete her OBGYN training at the University of Texas, Houston, and has been in private practice there since graduation. She's been all over the Southeast, y'all.
Dr. Courtney is an advocate for holistic and integrative women's health, and she is on a mission to help women live well as we age.
Last but definitely not least, she is a wife and a mother of two beautiful daughters and enjoys cooking, massages, and road trips in her free time.
And she's got a lot of letters behind her name. Let's get right to it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Courtney.
Thank you for having me.
You have a beautiful, infectious smile. We're looking at you on our screen. You may not hear it in the podcast, but also on the screen is her title, and I would like you to help me out with this. It says Dr. Courtney Sims, MD, FACOG, NCMPRYT 200. You have earned every single one of those letters, so please tell me what all those letters mean.
Okay, so the MD, of course, is medical doctor.
Got that.
The physician part, right?
Yeah.
The FACOG, that's Fellow of American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the national organization that most board-certified OBGYNs are part of.
Mm-hmm.
The NCMP is a certification from the North American Menopause Society, which is the body that certifies menopause practitioners here in the U.S.
Okay.
Britain also has one. And then the RYT is Registered Yoga Trainer.
Oh.
200 hours. Because I'm integrative. So, and then soon, hopefully, I'll have some additional certifications as well, because I've been working on those.
You're going to need a bigger screen.
I know.
Functional medicine. So it's going to grow. The acronyms behind the name, hopefully, will be growing soon.
I am a big fan of people working hard and putting it out there. Your business card would be hilarious right now. because you have a lot of certifications. You have a lot of letters that are very important behind your name. And it is, I think, when I was much younger growing up, all you had was an MD, right? And that's really important, and that's really hard. I'm not going to take away from that. But what is your motivation, and how does it benefit your patients, do you think, to have this more integrative, holistic view at treating specifically women at this specific age?
Well, I think that there's traditional medicine. And when I say traditional, I mean the base, I think of it as base training mm-hmm. that you get in medical school. And I always say when I got out into practice after I finished my residency, I had patients coming to me asking me about things that I didn't get exposure to in my traditional training. So they would ask me about different herbs. They would ask me about, even if I'm presenting a medical option, they wanted to know, okay, well, what else is out there? What lifestyle changes could I, make to affect my periods or my hormones? What foods could I eat, or what foods should I avoid? Or do you think that this is connected to anything deeper? And in your traditional training as a MD and as an OBGYN, you don't get a tremendous amount of exposure to that. It's something that I've kind of always been interested in. Even when I was in med school, you had a limited choice in electives, and the elective that I chose to take was complementary and alternative medicine. Mm-hmm. So if I look back, the thread to kind of integrative health has been there for me for a long time. But once I started getting more questions from my patients, it's just something that I decided to pursue, because if they're asking me about it and I'm their trusted provider, then I want to be able to advise them the best that I can on what they should and should not do. And most people in general would prefer lifestyle. Like, they would prefer a dietary change or a lifestyle change, or even a brief period with a supplement or maybe some plant-based medicine, as opposed to always having to have a pill. I say as an integrative practitioner that I try to take the best of all worlds. So that doesn't exclude traditional. That doesn't exclude the traditional evaluation. It doesn't exclude medications, if applicable, or hormone replacement therapy, if applicable, because everything has pros and cons. But we just kind of want to widen the field, right? And not only just talk about prescription medication.
And specifically when it comes to menopause, I'm not there yet, but it's this big, scary monster that's what I'm saying. Like, the only thing I've heard about it, so I'm in my mid-40s and I'm still mm-hmm. trucking along, but you don't hear a lot of good things about menopause. And the things I'm hearing, it's like, well, that's just the way it is. So yeah, it's just the way it is.
I mean,
yeah,
it's the way it is in terms of it is a natural process that every woman, if you live long enough, at some point you're going to transition through. So just like you had to mature as a woman and go through puberty, mm-hmm. this is the process of that winding down. So that's got to happen for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that we should open up the conversation to think of it as although there may be some symptoms that are associated with the wind back, we don't need to demonize menopause as if it's something that you must suffer through.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Kim recently showed me a TikTok where there were these people that were asking men about the female body. And they just didn't, but a lot of them did not.
The joke was like, men typically are the ones making decisions in our government about women's
health. And in healthcare, too.
Right.
And in healthcare, but
irregardless, they seem to not know much about the female body. I did okay on the test. I don't think I would do great if someone asked me, Penn, what is menopause?
Okay.
So I'd love to just ask that question.
Let me break that down for you. So menopause is basically the slow drawdown of hormones in a woman's body, specifically estrogen and progesterone.
Okay.
So when you go through puberty and a woman starts having cycles, that is secondary to an increase in estrogen and progesterone subsequent to some other changes with your hormones. That is what allows women to have a cycle every month and be able to get eggs fertilized so little humans can be born. But that process is not meant to last forever. Men have hormones too, right? All humans, men and women, we all have estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It's just that the ratio is different. And men start to go through a decline in their hormonal profile, usually around the late 20s, early 30s. So they go through their decline a little bit earlier than we do. Average age of menopause is 51. And so what starts to happen usually at first, or there's some changes in the cycle, and this could be any change. It could be a changing in the timing, it could be a change in the flow, it could be a change in the characteristics. But what that is signifying is the ovaries, the two little organs that make estrogen and progesterone, they start to make less and less. And their glands in the brain that kind of sense that this process is going on, it starts to try to provoke the ovary to make more and more. But the ovary is like, you know what? I'm tapping out. Like, I've done this for a long time.
I'm tired.
You know, I'm tired. Yeah. So it makes less and less. And that's what leads to the symptoms. So the things that she's heard about, like the bad stuff, the hot flashes and the night sweats and the brain fog and the low drive and the dry skin, you know, all those things, is because you have receptors for those hormones everywhere, all over your body as a woman. So when they're not being stimulated in the same way, you're going through the process of getting used to that. And that's a transition.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you. That was very, I'm so sorry. That's a really good question, Penn, because I just assume you're right. You don't know about that stuff because you don't go to a gynecologist every year. So what?
Even those women who go to a gynecologist every year don't always understand that dynamic.
So what are you just mentioned? I knew to expect like hot flashes and like weight gain and weird, you know, in different places, things like that. But what are some of the symptoms that can be linked to perimenopause, which is the time before official menopause, that maybe we don't know of, that like maybe I'm going through and I don't even realize it's a symptom of perimenopause. Maybe I am going through stuff now.
I mean, a lot, like the most common symptom is changes with the cycle. Mm-hmm. And then the most talked about symptoms usually are hot flashes and night sweats, mm-hmm. drops in your sex drive, and that weight gain that you talked about, which in a certain physiological way is kind of your body trying to help you through the process, because you can make estrogen from your adipose tissue. Mm. So part of the reason why you kind of build in that little bit of weight gain is a reaction to the drop in estrogen. It's almost like your body's innate way of knowing, hey, I'm losing some of the potential for my organs to make this hormone. So let's use some of these other pathways that we can use. But usually that's only about 5-10 pounds at most. When you start to gain weight outside of that, it's because that loss of estrogen also leads, and testosterone can start to drop off, leads to a drop in muscle mass. It's the same thing that kind of happens to men. When they start to lose their testosterone, it's harder for them to keep and build their muscle mass. But you also have issues with your skin elasticity, issues with dryness, and that can be everywhere, right? Like not just the skin on your face, but also vaginal dryness, difficulty with intercourse because of the vaginal dryness. You can have brain fog. That's a really common symptom. Mm-hmm. So not just the cognitive processes don't function as well whenever you're going through that transition where your brain is getting used to the drop in estrogen. So that tends to get better once you officially go through menopause. And I always like to perimenopause is a common, you know, term that everybody uses, but menopause itself, I describe it as kind of like an anniversary date. It's one day. So it's the date where it's been 1 year since your last period. That's menopause. Before that, you're pre after that, your post. Peri is the whole shebang,
it's
right?
All
of it. When
okay.
you're
okay.
leading up to menopause and you started to have those transitions, the anniversary date, and then the period of time after where your body is still getting accommodated and used to not having as much hormones around.
How long does that last?
Hair loss can happen. It's a lot of things.
Yeah. How long can that last from beginning to end?
From beginning to end, you'll be shocked. About 14 years, 14 to 16. Of course, you'll have some people who go through their transition in a shorter period of time and some people who take longer than average, but that's the average. If you add up all of the individual stages, 14. Now, symptom-wise, on average, it's usually 5 to 7 years. So a much shorter period where you're really actively experiencing a variety of symptoms. So not everybody's going to have hot flashes. Not everybody's going to have night sweats.
So
that really sucks.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. That sucks. That's a long time.
Think of it this way. I describe it as just like you had to go through puberty to mature the hormonal system, that happened for a biological reason. And that biological reason was for procreation, right? Where you're mothering and you're taking care of other little humans and other things. At some point in a woman's life, it would be good if you could start to focus more on yourself as opposed to mothering something. So when you go through this transition and you're losing those hormones, they're decreasing, right? You're kind of also being able to enter a space where your focus is more towards what you want. You're losing that biological drive to really care more about other people and put yourself last on the list. That's not a bad thing. That can be a good thing. So the only thing that you have to do is make sure, okay, I know this is going to happen at some point. This is around the average age when it's supposed to happen, right? Like it can happen anytime after 40, average age 51. So I need to prepare myself because it's going to happen, right? So I need to make sure I'm eating lots of fruits and vegetables, doing green tea, doing exercise, trying to optimize my body so that when I go through this transition, I weather it well and I don't hide in a closet and act like there's a problem with this happening. This can be a good thing. Go to my provider, have a conversation. What are all of my options? What all can I do from a lifestyle perspective to help my body adjust to the decrease? That can really help to minimize a lot of the symptoms. So it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's like menopause has been shut in the closet forever and nobody wants to talk about it because like you're hot and you're sweaty and you're moody and you have low patience. And, you know, while your body's adjusting, that might not sound so pleasant, but there are a lot of things that you can do to mitigate those symptoms.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So I do want to talk to you about options and lifestyle changes. I do want to talk about that, but I was almost emotional when you're talking about that, because there was a time we have two children, and there was a time in their lives when there wasn't a minute of the day where I didn't know where they were, how many times they had pooped, if I dropped them off at preschool and I didn't see them for 3 hours, like, it was, oh my goodness. Now they're teenagers. I drop them off and, you know, one of them's going to a slumber party and I'm not going to see her till tomorrow. Like, I'm going to go. And that's, but if I were so hormonally kind of dependent and needing that maternal care, like, it would have been impossible for me to mother her in this stage now, because what mm-hmm. she needs me right now is just like a ride home and probably, you know, like a bottle of water
and a
tomorrow.
I just don't need like episodic advice.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. She just needs some space. Like, she needs, like, she'll probably want me to buy her something tomorrow. And you know what I mean? Like, she needs my credit card and she needs some space. But that's like, we have a great relationship. But if I were so hormonally in that, like, my knee, because that is, there's an instinct that takes over, right? When your baby's like, you have to be there. And now right. It's actually lovely. Like, because I do get to focus on myself and mm-hmm. I'll get to go on a walk. Like, I'll get to do all this stuff for myself. And it is lovely. And, right. and I didn't realize, like, my body, like, there was something happening inside my brain and body
that was latching you to them.
That was
emotionally
latching to the, and now doing the very, we're all doing the natural unraveling that needs to happen, because I'm not doing my job if they feel so dependent on us that they don't feel safe to leave the nest, you know?
Right. They have to gain that sense of independence. And I always say, you know, women, you know, some of that hormonal drive is a mothering instinct. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, women tend to mother something, whether that is a child or a business or a project or a community. You tend to, when you're going through that period of your life, you tend to mother something. Mm-hmm. This, when you start going through your perimenopausal transition to menopause transition to postmenopause transition, I think energetically it's more about you really focusing in more on your intent for the world, the legacy that you want to leave, mm-hmm. and then what you've neglected, like turning time to, you know, interest and hobbies and things that you've always wanted to do, but you didn't feel that you had the time and the space to do it because you were mothering something.
This is so fascinating, Dr. Courtney, because we talk a lot on this podcast. I've even written some blogs about, like, I just really feel the need for, like, a project right now. Like, I feel the need for something, you know, to get into. I'm like, maybe I'll start playing pickleball. Maybe I'll start needlepoint. Like, what is the thing that it is mine that is not tied to something else, and I
that you do for someone
that I'm doing. I'm doing it for myself and not mm-hmm. for somebody else. And it didn't even occur to me that it was just a very natural life phase that had like process and had like a hormonal kind of tendencies. Like, what are the other good things? Like, what are the other good things that we can look forward to when I'm going, when I'm having hot flashes in a few years or maybe next week? What can I, like, what are the things I can point to and say, like, well this isn't all so bad?
I mean, our temperatures are going to be more consistent with each other.
Yes, because right now it's freezing.
Because I like it at about 65 and you like it at about 942. So I feel like that's going to be a bonus for us, right?
That's going to be a bonus. Yeah. That's definitely going to be less arguments around. And you're lucky, because a lot of men don't like it that cold. Oh, so you won't have any
bear.
Arguments over the thermostat in the house when you want to turn it down. You know, one good thing is your sex drive does tend to increase.
Okay.
You know, whether or not it's the loss of inhibition around not having to mother as much. Mm-hmm. And because your estrogen and progesterone levels are starting to trend down, for a lot of women, the testosterone level can maintain. Mm-hmm. So you tend to enter this phase of your life where you are a lot more amorous and you do have a lot more drive and, you know, you want to spend more time doing hanky panky. So that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't all have to be bad, but your body, you know, again, because you have receptors for these hormones, literally from your head to your toe, you have to expect some adjustment. Your body's a little upset that it's not getting its daily dose at the same level of estrogen and progesterone that it used to. And so some of the things that men really start to transition through from their late 20s, early 30s, we get that once we hit our perimenopause, but it's a little bit different in women because we're cyclical from puberty. Men don't have that same cycle when it comes to their hormones. So it affects the drawdown of our hormones, affects us differently than it does for them.
Does one of those letters after your name help you with kind of the relationship side of this? I'm not trying to be funny here. I would like to know what the partner of someone going through menopause can look out for, and not to like bum you back out, because we just talked about all the good stuff, but there are going to be some things that we can do to be there for them, right? I would imagine that learning about it is number one, because that creates empathy, right? And so we're in the process of doing that right now with you. Just through your experience, any other things that should I be looking out for, if there's like warning signs for something, or if just for me to understand and know what to do?
Got it. So I always say, as a gynecologist, every gynecologist is part therapist, because we deal with hormonal beings. Yep. So there are going to be some good times and some, you know, rocky times. So you hit it right, you know, the nail right on the head when it said, okay, first I need to like know that this is a thing, right? Like every woman goes through this. When my partner is in their 40s, sometimes for some women, it could even be late 30s, which would be a little early, but it does happen. Or in their 50s, this is the period of life hormonally that they're going to be in. When you start to go through this transition and your hormone levels go down, I say you start to lose a little bit of your hormonal filter. So the stuff that previously maybe you weren't saying, because I always say it's a biological need for procreation. So if a woman said everything that was on her mind all the time from when she was a young woman, there might not be any more humans left. Like, we might have been extinct.
The filter is real.
And the filter is real. And when you go through this transition, that filter starts to go away. So that even extends to your partner. So some of the stuff, you might be at home and you're like, wait a minute, like, we don't usually have this type of conversation. You're being a little bit more direct and a little bit meaner than I'm expecting, or you were previously. And part of that is because that filter is gone. And if you notice a lot of snappiness, I always say it's usually because a woman doesn't feel like she has the support that she needs. She doesn't feel like she has the space. She doesn't feel like you are recognizing the changes that she's going through. She's battling a lot, having her body trying to adjust, and she's not feeling the support that she needs. Women need, in this transition, they need support. They need empathy. They need space, right? Space to just even vent.
Yeah. And I would like, I'm like, this is like the second time I'm like almost getting emotional here, because I have to say I have an incredibly empathetic partner, but I think our most recent arguments have fallen on around the space of like, I get snappy because I'm like, I'm doing all this. I'm doing everything. You're doing nothing. First of all, untrue. He's still he does a lot. Like, he's world's number one dad, drives the bus for the basketball team. Like, he's doing a lot too, but I feel like there's this perception that.
So do you think it's happening to you now?
Yeah, okay. I do, because I think that, but also I have, and we're just also in this stage of life where we have several friends going through divorces. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they weren't great relationships from the start. Let's just say that there's that. But I think there's also the women in the relationship have hit a wall where they're like, I'm done. I dealt with this. You know, I put up with this for
maybe that has to do with the filter, right?
The filter.
Yeah. Remember, I said how you're losing your focus, really, at this point in your life, is more about what you care about. Yeah. So stuff that you might have brushed aside or just kept plugging along up until you get to perimenopause. Once you hit that perimenopausal wall, you don't have the hormonal patience to keep dealing with stuff that you previously may have put up with. So that can lead to some conflict. Not in just, you know, in every personal relationship, it can lead to conflict at work, because you don't have that same level of patients to deal with stuff that you previously would have overlooked. And if you're if you've been doing stuff all along, right? And even if your partner is empathetic and they're trying to provide you support, think of it as like if you're a really supportive partner and you've always been a really supportive partner, you need to allow even more grace, even more space, because your partner is literally going through a body revolution. Like their body is completely different from the inside out. So they need more space. Like it's not an illness. It's a natural transition. But anybody going through something major needs even more support than previously.
You need to get on the biggest pedestal you can get on, the biggest step stool you can get on, and get
with a megaphone
and get this message out. I mean, I'm telling, like, here's why. And okay, guys, let's go back. Let's go back to like standard guy. A girl gets snippy when she's 35. What do you say?
Well,
what are you on your period? Like that's like we're
yes,
we because
yeah, you're hormonal. You're being hormonal,
right? And and sometimes that's just. That's just pettiness. Sometimes that's a lack of education. I'm not saying that this is what I want to do. I want to be like, what are you getting menopause right now? If you get snippy with me, it's not an excuse, right? But what it is it's an understanding that we can have did I just lose my microphone?
I don't.
Can you hear me?
I can hear.
Oh my gosh. I got really emotional. My microphone, my headphones went out.
So we have emotions going. I really
so many emotions.
Sorry. Once partners understand what's going on, we will give more grace than you think we will give. So just hearing this and hearing like there could be a hormonal reason, which is also comes with the ability to give birth to the children who we love, like that makes it easier to get through and understand and for both of us, don't you think?
I think so, because also I have thought, and we've had conversations here on this podcast and like obviously in private, I felt a little bit like I'm going crazy, because I'm like, what is wrong with me that like I feel more anxious than I ever have. And
that's the thing. That's a hormonal. There are increased risk rates of anxiety and depression during this period of time. And some women who have never had or experienced those things before will first start to experience them when they go through perimenopause. Mm-hmm. So it's very... different people are different, right? Mm-hmm. Some people all their life, they've been very vocal and it's been very easy for them to kind of say what they want and demand what they want. Right. But not every person is that way. And when you start to go through this transition, just like men can bring the space and the support, women have to feel like it is okay to say, this is what I want, this is what I need, and feel okay about it. Sometimes you can feel internally, you can know what you want and what you need, but the verbalization of that doesn't always come out so clear. Mm-hmm. So that can lead to a sense of frustration as well. And then if you are not feeling like you can adequately communicate your needs and you're going through all these changes, guess what that leads to? More snippiness.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't have the patience. Like, you know, speaking of your friends, you know, going through the ups and downs, you know, that's another common challenge, right, of this period of time. But that hormonal shift that's going on causes a lot of women to realize, like, look, I have these needs that have been neglected for years, and I just cannot see living the rest of my life like this.
Yeah.
I've lived X amount of time. I've done this. I've poured into whatever I've been mothering. And I'm looking forward now at this point at the rest of my life. And the thought of doing this same thing in this same pattern is not, I can't deal.
Yeah. And I could see how in a relationship, or even to your point, in a business relationship, it doesn't have to be a friendship. Like it doesn't have to be like a romantic partnership that, you become more motivated to speak your mind. I would say, like, I've always been the type of person, it takes me like a day to process how I'm feeling, to even know how I'm feeling about something. Like if I get if something traumatic happens, you know, or something, or even not traumatic, it'll take me a day to be like, wow, that was really hard. Like it takes me a while to vocalize how I feel. I will say at this point in my life, I am getting to that faster, which I think saves time.
And
right? Like, it saves time.
Not having the slowdown of the filter does save time.
It saves a lot of time.
Like, yep, no. At this point, I know I don't like that. This happened, and it's not going to take me a day to figure out that I didn't like that. I know right now
that that was inappropriate, mm-hmm. and that was rude, and so it can...
And
so,
I'm not tolerating
and,
it.
And that's a... Okay, so it. I think it's also just so helpful, like, to Penn's point, to know and to have language around it. I'm not going to walk through the house and every time I'm in a bad mood, I'm maybe like, it's menopause. Like, I'm not going to do that. But in a way, it makes me feel better to know that I'm not going crazy.
Right? Yeah. It makes me feel better.
It makes the partner feel better too, to know, okay, there is some it's not me. A lot of partners will feel like when they're getting that, you know, they're like, what did I do wrong? Like, I thought I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. I don't understand why I got that tone or that language so it can be difficult for even people who are trying to be supportive. It can be hard for them because they don't understand where it came from, right? So that's why sometimes I like people to know what's going on so they don't, the men in the relationship don't internalize like, oh, it's something that I did. If you're being there, you're being supportive and creating the space, sometimes you have to let some stuff just slide over, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, this Keep is not moving. Me. She's not directing this at me personally. This is just her processing, but mm-hmm. she's processing it verbally. So I'm just going to let this slide on over. And then if it becomes a recurrent theme, then, okay, this is it. This is an issue. This is not just a processing. Right. This is something that she's identifying as something that needs to change. Okay, so then I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen a lot, use my ears, not my mouth, and try to hear what she needs and then support that.
And then, and to your point, if it is recurrent, like therapy, like a lot of stuff, like there's, yes, don't, mm-hmm. yeah.
Hormones are just fascinating. I'm just going to, like, there was a period from 13 to about 23 when all I cared about were boobs. And naked girls. Like, just that's all.
True. That's true. That's all thing.
I care. And I'm not trying to be perverted about this, but I would be in church and I'd be thinking about boobs. I would be, I would be in class looking at a math problem, boobs. Like, college, boobs. My first job, boobs. Like, it was just all it's all you think about.
That's that testosterone.
And I can't, and I couldn't do anything.
I mean, yesterday, like, I was trying to have a conversation with
boobs.
You, and I was like changing. Yeah. He goes, I'm sorry, your boobs are out. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, it's
like, focus.
I still love them, but I guess.
But you can be productive and not like draw boobs on your paper right now. Yes.
Yes. I just think it's fascinating. And, so when you describe this as a hormonal drawdown and knowing that the power that those hormones have over all of our lives and are in many ways uncontrollable, even though society tries to find a way to subvert them, they are not to be denied. We now have a daughter who is 15. We have a son who is 12. We are experiencing that side of it.
Like, oh gosh, now I'm thinking about it. He's probably thinking about boobs.
He's thinking about boobs right now.
Right now, this
very minute,
he's thinking about boobs.
There's nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that. That is there for a reason as well. I mean, it's all behind, even though, you know, we live in modern times and we're intellectual and we have all of this time and space to be and create. And, you know, it's not all about procreation anymore. Biologically, on a DNA basis, it's all about procreation. Right. You're here and your hormones are driving you towards procreation.
Boobs and butts and legs.
But whether or not that ends up in an actual human or it just ends up in a lot of intercourse, that hormonal drive to spread the seed is real. It's real.
And okay, so boobs. Okay, moving on. okay, so you have a lot of those extra letters after your title have led you to talk about, I really appreciate a lifestyle approach, but also that not denying like a traditional medicine approach if needed. What are some lifestyle modifications you recommend for people that are experiencing symptoms going through this time of life and, you know, supplements? Like, what are the things that I can be doing to kind of support myself right now?
So think of it as there's a two-phased approach. I try to work a lot with my women who are premenopausal before they get to perimenopause, because optimizing your lifestyle, eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, working on any excess weight that you have will help your transition. It will help you weather the transition a lot easier. So if you can kind of get on the health and wellness train even before you hit perimenopause, it's going to be a smoother ride for you. And that's not just, you know, body and diet wise, that's also mental wise, right? So if you have like excess baggage or emotional trauma that you need to work through, when you don't have the support of your hormones, a lot of dealing with those emotions can be much more difficult. So, you know, try to work on your stuff mm-hmm. before you get to perimenopause. And then once you get to perimenopause, still focusing in on lots of fiber, dietary fiber. So that's going to be lots of vegetables, eating the rainbow, because there are estrogens and estrogen-like compounds in plants as well. So even though your ovaries may be making less estrogen, you can still source it out, right? Mm-hmm. So you can, the estrogens that are in plants are weaker than the ones that you naturally produce, but they can still fill that void in terms of the receptor to give you a little bit of stimulation so you're not as symptomatic as your body adjust to lower levels. So I always say, I have this little chart that I give to my patients. So it has all of the colors of the rainbow. And the goal is to eat 2 servings from each color every day, right? Oh. So 2 reds, 2 oranges, 2 yellows, 2 greens, 2 whites, 2 purple blacks, 2 browns. That's like your goal. You want diversity in your diet. Doing, you know, weightlifting, you know, a lot of people focus on the cardio, and cardio is great. But when you start to go through this transition, if that was you previously, you really want to try to bring in some strength training, whether that's weights or it's body resistance exercises or swimming or yoga. You want to make sure that you're paying attention to your muscle mass, because you will start to lose that. That also helps a little bit with the cognitive fog. Doing things like green tea helps with your mitochondria, also helps to give you some flavonoids that helps to mitigate symptoms. Yoga is good twofold, not just for the strength, resistance, and the muscle mass, but also for linking that breath to body. So making sure that that mind-body connection is strong, that there are certain poses in yoga that can help to decrease your hot flashes, because just like you can build heat in yoga, you can release heat. Yeah. So, you know, starting a yoga practice would be good to do. And then acupuncture is another big lifestyle recommendation that I make to a lot of people, because that improves hot flashes about 60 to 70% of the time. And then I'm also big into herbal medicine. So, you know, there are a lot of things, just like you can source, you know, plant-based estrogens in foods, you can also source herbal compounds in plants, things like sage, that really help to draw down some of those vasomotor symptoms. So you have a lot of options when it comes to lifestyle, you know, just day-to-day things that you're doing to help you better weather this period of time, even before you get to the hormone, you know, HRT conversation. But HRT can be beneficial in different ways.
And yes, it can help replacement therapy.
Yes, hormone replacement therapy. It can, and that's specifically, I'm referring to like replacement with estrogen and progesterone. I usually recommend a transdermal form, so through the skin, as opposed to taking an oral pill, because it doesn't go through the same metabolism process as if you took an oral pill. And so it's a little bit safer in terms of its effects that way. But hormone replacement therapy is good for symptoms, but also can be beneficial for cardiovascular risk reduction as you get older, neurodegenerative disease risk reduction as you get older. So there are a lot more recent studies that go towards some of the protective benefits that women may see post hormone replacement therapy. So I talk to my women and my patients about all their options. And then I even partnered with a company, Phenology, to help kind of package some of this same advice that I give to my patients one-on-one, because that's the other the other bad thing about this particular period of a woman's life, there's not a lot of doctors who are formally trained in hormonal management or that are formally trained in menopause. I have had patient on patient on patient in my office who said that they've been telling their doctor they've been having hormonal symptoms for years, and they told them that it was just normal. They didn't offer them any type of counseling. They didn't tell them about anything in their lifestyle that they could do. They didn't listen. Yeah. So a lot of women, you know, inherently know that something is transitioning in their body, but they're trying to get assistance, but they're not necessarily getting it at their doctor's office. They're being left to that's why I'm glad you guys are talking about it, because this may be a woman's only way to get some type of someone to talk about what they may be feeling and what's going on inside.
And that was my next question, because I know with the hormone replacement therapy, there was like one negative report, I think, back in the early 2000s or something. Mm-hmm. And I know my mom just immediately stopped taking it because she saw in the news.
A lot of women did.
And that messed her up even more. And so, but like you're saying, there's all this evidence to say there are some risks, but there are some benefits, but definitely it's a conversation to have with your doctor. But I mean, some of those letters that you have a special, like you've been trained to talk about menopause specifically, but even I checked in the practice I go to now, there's nobody with that certification. So, and not to say that they can't talk about this, but I would love, and you're in Texas. So but I'm in North Carolina. So like who should I be seeking out? Like what sort of like, who should I be seeking out, and the people listening, where should they be reaching out for like information? And these are obviously, when you're talking about supplements and you're talking about medicines, they need to talk to a doctor. So yeah, what should
they do.
I be looking
and
for?
I always recommend talking to a trusted, experienced provider. In terms of people seeking, you know, a provider, I would recommend the North American Menopause Society, because they keep a list online. You can go in, you can type in your zip code, you can find a certified practitioner or the closest one to you in your area. And, you know, with the advent of telemedicine, they don't necessarily need to be in your town or in your city, as long as they're in your state and they see people virtually. Because most of the time, as long as you have a regular primary care provider that's doing the rest of your primary care, you can have that hormonal discussion with somebody miles away and give them that advice and talk to them about their symptoms and start, you know, a lifestyle program with them. So I definitely recommend North American Menopause Society to try to find a trained practitioner. And then, like I was saying, I partnered with a brand, Phenology, to try to build community as well. So there's an app, there are dietary coaches, there are products that we design, AM and PM gummies, the things to help you with your symptoms, so that even if you don't have a provider in your state, which I do, I think that NAMS now pretty much has providers in all states. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that gives hope to women everywhere that even if my doctor doesn't have it, I should be able to find a trained provider in my state. But if you're just looking for like a sense of community and maybe some discussion around options that are not prescription based, you want information and advice about how do I need to tweak my diet? You want information about just identifying, am I going through this period of time? That's a big question that a lot of women have too. They want to know, okay, am I here? Am I not here yet? Is it about to happen? So there's a tracker in there that can help you track your cycles to give you some immediate feedback as to this is the stage that we think that you're in. This is what you should anticipate, because it's that lack of knowledge about what's going to be happening with my body. What symptoms should I look out for? So I help to build that too. So want women to have support in this arena.
Tell me the name of that again.
It's Phenology, phenology.com.
Okay. Can you spell that?
Phenology. I think that's right. I think I spelled that right. Yep.
This is also a spelling bee. We like to make people spell.
The other one, like I said, is North American Menopause Society, or NAMS for short.
Okay. And are there things that, are there symptoms that people could experience that are like, oh, red flag, not normal, you need to go talk to somebody now?
Mm-hmm. if you're having a lot of abnormal bleeding, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're having heavy bleeding, you're what we refer to as flooding, having a lot of pain, that's not normal for the perimenopause transition. You know, you want to seek out advice as to what else it might be. If you're having, you know, sometimes headaches can be part of the hormonal transition, but they can also be other things. Sometimes, you know, brain fog can be part of the hormonal transition, but it can also be early onset dementia. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you think that you're going through perimenopause, and I've seen this in my practice as well, but you actually have some other hormonal dysfunction. You're not going through perimenopause, but maybe you just have an imbalance in your hormones. Maybe it's just your progesterone that's deficient, but your estrogen is fine. Maybe it's your thyroid.
Is there a blood test that can tell you?
Yes. There is a blood test that can tell you if you remember how I said you have these glands in your brain that kind of sense when your ovaries are starting to go on vacay. Mm-hmm. So there is a test that you can get done. It's an FSH that will let you know, okay, if it's starting to rise above 10, that we're suspicious that you're probably entering the perimenopause period. NAMS has a position statement where they say, you know, you don't have to have that test to know whether or not you're going through perimenopause. The number one advice that they give is observe your cycle. And that's what I try to tell my patients. Don't just start observing your cycle when you're in your 40s. Like you should, if you have a cycle, you should be tracking that cycle. If you're a teenager, your young daughter, tracking if she's having a cycle. Every woman should be tracking their cycle because that is usually going to be your first red flag, changes in the cycle. That's going to tell you, oh, something's up with my hormones. Now, what it might be to be determined, that's why I go to my doctor, have some blood work done so I can see exactly what hormonal issue is at play. But that's going to be your number one red flag, is starting to have some problems with your cycle typically.
Okay. I'm going on a website. I'm finding a new doctor. Getting some blood work done.
And you can add them. You don't have to ditch if you have a great OBGYN, keep them. Think of this as building a team, right? Just like I was saying, okay, maybe do some yoga, do some acupuncture. You can add these people into your team. You can keep your OBGYN and add in somebody who's trained by NAMS so that you have that specific specialist on your team. So you don't have to, you know, I tell people, you know, if you have a good doctor, don't ditch them. But when it comes to this particular phase of your life and you're looking to make sure that you're getting the best advice, you're getting the advice from somebody who's trained in this specifically so you can really be educated on the pros and cons of everything. Yeah. Just like you wouldn't, you know, go to a rheumatologist for bone cancer. You would go to them for arthritis. You would go to them for maybe autoimmune disease. You wouldn't go to them for a heart attack because they're not the right specialists for that. So that's why I recommend, you know, seeking somebody.
I always like to ask this question. You're mentioning, you know, getting an additional doctor. You're mentioning acupuncture. You're mentioning a different diet. You're mentioning weightlifting. Some of those things can be time consuming. Some of those things can be expensive. If you had to pick like the one most important thing that you need to do to
eating, changing your nutrition.
So it's nutrition's number one. Nutrition's
number one. Of it.
Okay.
You know, and if cost is an issue, right, like sourcing local, starting to grow, even little things like sprouts, right? Sprouts aren't expensive to start. You could do that. You don't have to have a whole garden in your backyard. Start sprouting some pea seeds. Start doing some broccoli sprouts. You know, start some microgreens, an herb garden in your windowsill. But just kind of consistently move towards better nutrition, more plants, more fruits, green tea, less red meat, less saturated fat. And if you have the saturated fat, make sure it's the good fat, right? High in omega-3s. Diet, 90%, right? Sleep, you know, not overworking yourself. We don't have that thrust in this country. It's like work till you die.
Oh, hustle.
So
yeah.
Trying to have good sleep hygiene, setting a bedtime and sticking to it, being consistent with that, allowing time and space for, you know, mental reset and relaxation. Those things don't cost money. It just takes effort right? Mm-hmm. And time. And sometimes you have to put other people in their place so that they're not demanding more from you than you have to give. And women in particular, whether or not that comes from the estrogen and the mothering aspect, we don't innately tend, not most women, they don't innately tend to do that very well. We seem to be very good at putting other people's needs first. I think men have the benefit, I don't know whether or not it's from the testosterone, but they typically seem to have the benefit of not having that problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me first, I'm going to save myself first, and then it's everyone else. And mm-hmm. women kind of naturally think outward, and it's like, let me save the world. And then if I have time,
I'll save myself. I'll put the oxygen mask on if I have time.
Yes.
Well, this has been so enlightening and just relief. Like, just, I'm experiencing just some relief having some names for things and a reason for things. I mean, do you feel the same way, Penn?
Yes.
He's going to keep it short and sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for spending this time with us. I hope that our platform is a big enough megaphone, but if not, I hope
you, it's a mini phone.
It's a mini phone.
It's not a megaphone. I hope we got to get you on Dax Shepherd next.
I know we need to get you. We need to get you a megaphone. I want to help you because just, I think it's so comforting for women to know that there are options and also like the good things about this time of life.
Yeah. It doesn't all have to be bad. Let's not demonize menopause. Yeah. It's a natural thing. It's meant to happen. There's a silver lining to it. It's just a transition, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like a little change. It's a change that you have to kind of adjust to. But on the other side of that is no periods, mm-hmm. high sex drive.
Okay.
Freedom from the need to take care of other people.
I mean,
you know, time for yourself.
YOLO.
That doesn't sound bad.
No.
That does not sound bad at all.
The cliff notes are good. The cliff notes are loss of filter. It's not always me. eat a salad.
Several.
Do some yoga.
Eat several salads, and you're maybe going to have some more sex.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah.
Okay, so where can people... Okay, we got the website and the app that you help. Is there any other place you want to point people to find information about you or what you're doing?
If they just remember Dr. Courtney, that's my TikTok, that's my Instagram. I have a website all under Dr. Courtney. I have a Facebook under Dr. Courtney.
So just Courtney with a
Dr.
K.
Courtney with a K.
Courtney with a K. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me talking about this topic. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
This has been great.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.